The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 24, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 21st, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tata Chu Ativrajya Sarashtram Ridham Savira Matsyam Kurujangalan Sha Kalena Tavat Yamunam Upetya Tatra Udhavam Bhagavatam Dadasha Tatastvati Vajrasarashtram Ridham Tatastvati Vajrasarashtram Ridham Savirya Matsyan Kurujangalamscha Kalena Tavad Yamunam Upetya Tatrodhavam Bhagavatam Dadarsha Tatastvati Rajasarashtram Ridham Savirya Matsyan Kurujangalamscha Kalena Tavad Yamunam Upetya Chatabdavam Bhagavatam Dadarsha Tatastvati Rajasarashtam Ridham Tatastvati Rajasarashtam Ridham Savirya Matsyan Kurujangalamscha Kalena Tavad Yamunam Upetya Chatodavam Bhagavatam Dadarsha Tata From there to but Ativraja By passing over Sarashtram The kingdom of Surat Ridham, very wealthy. Savira, the kingdom of Savira. Matsyan, the kingdom of Matsya. Kurujangalam, the kingdom of Western India. Up to the Delhi province. Cha, also. Kalena, in course of time, Tavat, as soon as possible, Jamunam, bank of the river Jamuna, Upetya, reaching, Tatra, there, Udhavam, Udhava, one of the prominent Yadus. Bhagavatam, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, Dadarsha, happened to see. Just don't take any photographs. Guru Mata, you come back. Devi, you sit over here. Why are you not sitting with us? He wants to photograph? All right. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, he passed through very wealthy provinces like Sudat, Salvera, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jangala. At last he reached the bank of the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. Purport. The tract of land comprising about 100 square miles from Delhi to Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh, including a portion of the Gurgaon district in Punjab, East India, is considered to be the topmost place of pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. From the very beginning of his appearance, he was at Mathura in the house of his maternal uncle Kamsa, and he was reared by his foster father Maharaj Nanda at Vrindavan. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee is eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna, in his remembrance on the absolute plane, that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Thus, devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadeva hidayeshu valokayanti yam shama shundaramachin yagunasvarubam govindamadi purusham tamaham dajami. Those who are in the ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shyamasundar Krishna, see him always in their hearts due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Jamuna and met each other. So this is pretty amazing purport. It's practically inconceivable that what Prabhupada's talking about here. It's really, really amazing. There are devotees who wander here in Vraj Mandal, lingering here, searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? This is actually described very nicely on the prayers of the Goswami. Srinivasacharya has written very nicely, the six Goswamis. He Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suna Kutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pata Vatale Kalindi Vane Kutaha. He's describing the mood of the six Goswamis. They are wandering here in Vrindavan. Where are you, Krishna? Hey Radhe, where are you, Radharani? Hey Radhe Vraja Devi Ke. Where are you, my Radharani? Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. Where are you, O son of Nanda Maharaj? Where are you? Are you on the Govardhan? Are you on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? This was the mood of the Goswamis. They were wandering here in Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Actually, Prabhupada was very pleased with George Harrison. He wrote that song, My Sweet Lord, I really want to see you, but it takes so long, my Lord, you see. It's that mood of hankering to see Krishna, not seeing him, but hankering to see him. So Prabhupada really liked George for writing that song, because this is actually the mood of the Goswamis, described by Srinivasacharya, and is mentioned here. Devotees are wandering in Vrindavan, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And then Prabhupada, this is really amazing what Prabhupada says here. He says it's not that they see him. It's not that they see him, but eagerly searching for him is as good as seeing him. It's So even if you can't see Krishna because your eyes are covered, you see, by the modes of nature, if you're hankering, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? When will I see him? Just like Papa gave me that order, and it's always beating on my head. Papa said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So I'm always thinking, when will I get out of this maya, the coverings of the modes of nature? When will I actually be able to see Krishna? Especially when I come to Vrindavan, I think about this. All my godbrothers say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, how are you? You say, I'm not doing very well because I can't see Krishna. You see? I'm diseased. I'm in a diseased state. I tell all my godbrothers that actually I'm in a diseased state because I can't see Krishna. Prabhupada ordered me to become qualified and I haven't done it. Therefore, I'm in a diseased state. I'm not doing very well, Prabhu. Please bless me. I can get well, you see. Healthy means to be able to see Krishna. The no more covering of the modes of nature, you see. So this is described here. This is the most amazing thing about this purport is Prabhupada said, actually, they're hankering to see him, but they're not seeing him. And then he says, actually, they are seeing him. That's really amazing. Prabhupada says, they're not seeing Krishna, and they are seeing Krishna, both at the same time. Now, that's really inconceivable. How can I see something and not see something at the same time? But Prabhupada describes that here in this purport. So what about us neophytes who are still battling it out with, you know, false egos and lust and anger and greed and all that garbage that we've been carrying in our hearts for millions of lifetimes? What about poor neophytes like us? You know, what can we do to get out of this? So actually we can hanker, as Prabhupada told me. I was a very young devotee. You know, I was in my early 20s, a young kid, basically, with so much dirt in my heart. But Prabhupada said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna. So it's not just for some, you know, initiating guru, 70-year-old initiating guru. I was a young kid. Prabhupada said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So that we can hanker for them. Let me become qualified. I can actually see Krishna. He'll actually reveal himself. As described in that, Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Brahma Samhita. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes from the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So it's the verse says, seeing within, you see. But Prabhupada says that also seeing without, externally as well. Within and without, Prabhupada clarifies this point in a purport. So when I'm actually awakened in pure love of God, I can see Krishna everywhere. Within I can experience Krishna, without I can experience Krishna. So, right, I'm not there yet, you see, but I can hanker for that mood. I can hanker to come to that state of consciousness where I can see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Now, but just like Baba said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. I remember when I was with Vishnu John Swami when I first joined, he would always talk about face to face, eye to eye. You see, the pure devotee can actually see Krishna. Just like we're seeing each other now here in the Bhagavad, I can see you face to face, eye to eye. You see, you're seeing me face to face, eye to eye. We can actually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. And our hearts become completely cleansed. Can you imagine? When Krishna reveals himself to you, you see. So that's available. But even now, when we're not there, this is the amazing thing about this purport. Even now, when we're not there yet, we're far from it. We got too much crud from so many lifetimes contaminating our consciousness. Even now, when we're not there, hankering to be there is as good as being there. That's the amazing thing about it. You see? Hankering to see Krishna is as good as seeing him. Even though we're not seeing him, we are seeing him by hankering to see him. That's the point of the purport. It's amazing stuff here. This is really high-level philosophy. But it's practical. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah. Pass the microphone back. And I need somebody who can speak nicely English. Who's good? can tell me what she asked. You can tell me what she asks.
So, even though it's, you know, the songs of the carriers are very advanced, this hankering, this lamentation, in our state, is it okay to meditate on these bhajans and sing them?
The bhajans of acharyas that they are singing, and they are so advanced. So is it good in our level to meditate on these bhajans?
What bhajan?
Of acharyas, of all the acharyas, bhajans that they are hankering to see Krishna. Mm-hmm. Is it good for us to meditate on that?
Whatever there in Prabhupada's books is bona fide for you. You don't need to go outside of the books with some esoteric things. There's tons of esoteric things right here in Prabhupada's books. Although there's an example. When Prabhupada came out with the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was all kinds of esoteric, intimate things in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was a group of devotees in Los Angeles. They formed a little club, the Gopi Bhava Club. And they didn't want to go to Mangalarti because that's too mundane, just worshipping the Guru. But worshipping Tulsi, oh, that's more esoteric, you see. They would skip Mangalarti, they would go to Tulsi worship, and they weren't interested in Bhagavad Gita. That's too low, you know. It's not Vrindavan. After all, it's Kurukshetra, you know. So they wanted just the Vrindavan Rus, just Gopi Bhava. So Prabhupada was sitting, eating his breakfast one morning at L.A., Los Angeles. And Pradyumna came in and told him about this Gopi Bhava Club. Prabhupada had the piece of fruit on the way to the mouth. He heard about this Gopi Bhava. He put the fruit down. He wouldn't even take his breakfast. He said, call the leader of that group here right now, and he smashed him. Because the whole thing is in the Veda base. You can even hear, it's recorded, you can even hear the conversation. How Prabhupada was so disturbed, they wanted to jump to Gopi Bhav. You see, Prabhupada said, first desire, then desire. The thing is, there's the path of bhakti is a gradual process. The first thing is you have faith in the process, shraddha. The next thing is sadhu sangha, you associate with devotees. The next step is you get initiated, bhajana kriya. And then you have to go through what's called anartha nivritti. You have all the anarthas in your heart, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy. We're talking about decades and decades of struggle to conquer this stuff. Decades and decades, if not lifetimes of struggle to conquer this stuff. And then finally, which is a very exalted state, is called nishta. Finally, you get to the point where you're like, you know, 75% pure. Very high level. Very, very high level. Nishta stage. And then from nishta, you go to the ruchi stage, right? After nishta, Devi? After nishta is ruchi, right? Yeah. Ruchi stage. And that's where this is a very high level, you can't imitate it. The name of Krishna is so sweet, you relish so much nectar, you could chant Hare Krishna for millions of years if you could, you know, if your body would allow it. But psychologically, you could chant Hare Krishna for millions of years and never get bored. You just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into Nama Ras. That's a very high stage. And then from there you go to the stage. See where, yeah. After Ruchi comes the Asakti stage. Yeah, Asakti is when you're completely pure devotee, and that's when it is revealed to you who you are in Krishna's pastimes. The Asakti stage. So these devotees in LA were trying to jump to the Asakti stage without going through anartha nivritti. You know, you can't do that. You can't jump to Asakti. Well, I think I'm a gopi, you know. Or one brahmachari in Mayapur, he was told that he was a peacock. So he was practicing his rasa in the room and going, whoop, whoop, whoop. What are you doing? Oh, I'm practicing my rasa. So sometimes in Vrindavan there are people, you know, you can come to places like Marshana or other places, Radhakunda especially. You meet some Babaji, he will tell, I will tell you what is your rasa, come. I will reveal your rasa to you. We actually knew one girl. We met a girl in Alabama. She had gone to Radhakunda with her boyfriend. They were having illicit sex at Radhakunda, if you can imagine. And some Babaji told her what gopi she was in Krishna's Leela. So she's meditating on being a gopi in Krishna Leela and having illicit sex with a boyfriend the same evening. if you can imagine. So, and then she got initiated the next day by some Gaudiya sannyasi, not ISKCON. Initiated the next morning by somebody called Narayan Maharaj. She's having illicit sex the night before and getting initiated the next day. You see. So in ISKCON, we have standards here given by Prabhupada. Very important thing. You have to become pure. You can't just artificially jump to Gopi Baba and have illicit sex and have Gopi Baba at the same time. You see. So we have a very carefully laid out pathway given by Prabhupada how we can actually realize pure love of God, actually become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Not just theoretically, but practically, physically. We can actually reach the stage where we can see Krishna face to face. That's what Prabhupada... Did I answer your question? Yeah.
Does that mean that we stick only with the bhajans that Prabhupada gave us, like in the song book and the one he sang?
Do we just stick with the bhajans in the song book? It's the best thing. The best thing is to stick with what Prabhupada authorized us to do. That's the best thing. I don't recommend going to all this esoteric stuff, you know. There's already enough esoteric stuff in Prabhupada's books, Tejana Charamita. Very high level stuff is already there. We don't need to go outside for more juice. Prabhupada has given us unlimited juice. I mean, if you go deep into these, even Tulsi worship is very, very high level stuff. You see? Tulsi worship is very, very high level. Very high level. Any other questions? Deity worship is a special mercy because actually you can see Krishna. Deity worship, you can see Krishna immediately. There is Krishna. You if you see it as a statue, you're not seeing Krishna. You understand, this is Krishna himself. Krishna has come. Krishna and Balaram have come. Gornatai have come. Radhasham Sundar, they've come. They've so kindly come to bless me with their darshan so I can give my love to them. Then you are seeing Krishna. You understand? Yeah. Next.
How to get that hankering for Krishna?
How to get the hankering for Krishna? Right now we're also hankering for Krishna, but it's material energy. Actually, we're always hankering for Krishna. But we're hankering for the wrong side, the material side. That's our problem, isn't it? So you need to philosophically understand that by hankering for sense gratification, what you're doing now, right now we're hankering for sense gratification, gross and subtle. That's our diseased state. We are hankering for Krishna, but it's his illusory energy. We have to understand that hankering after Krishna's illusory energy is keeping me bound up in the cycle of birth and death. I'm being whipped by the modes of material nature. I'm suffering in this condition of hankering for Krishna's external energy. I need to redirect my hankering towards the spiritual energy, because that will liberate me from all anxiety. You have to have the proper philosophical understanding. It's like you go to a doctor, he gives you the medicine. How do you take the medicine? Well, you understand that you need the medicine. If you don't think you need the medicine, you're not going to take it. If you know you need the medicine, you'll take it. So you right now, the spiritual master is giving you the medicine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know you're sick, right? So here's the medicine. Now when you take the medicine, do you take it according to your own whim, or do you take it according to the direction of the physician? You take it according to the direction of the physician. He also says, well, while you're taking this medicine, don't drink any liquor, don't smoke any cigarettes, don't eat any meat, and don't have illicit sex. Then you have to do that also. So the doctor gives you the prescription, he gives the prohibitions. If you follow his instructions, you become healthy. So that healthy means that now instead of desiring to enjoy Krishna's illusory energy, I will desire to serve Krishna himself. So you actually, the good news is you already have pure bhakti within you. Your natural state of consciousness is pure love of God. Actually, you're already a pure devotee, but it's just covered right now by this cloud of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. If you will, there's bhakti in practice and there's bhakti in realization. Sadhana bhakti, you're practicing bhakti. So by practicing the art of trying to please Krishna and try to please Guru with your every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances, you become purified and come back to your original state of consciousness where your only desire is to please Krishna. It's just a matter, there's bhakti in practice and bhakti in perfection. Bhakti in practice is actually non-different from bhakti in perfection, in one sense. You engage now in serving Krishna, serving Guru, serving Vaishnavas, and develop a taste for that. By doing it, the taste will come. Right now, you have no taste. But by engaging these activities, regulated activities, under the order of the spiritual master, and of the order of senior devotees, this taste will awaken. Just like jaundice, the disease of jaundice. Actually, we like sugar candy. Stop doing that and listen. Sit down and listen. Don't play with things. You listen to this philosophy. Take it deep into your heart. Sit nicely and hear. That's your duty, not to play around. You're a brahmachari, you're supposed to hear. Brahmachari life means hearing from Guru, you understand? That's what brahmachari means. You have your business is to hear from Guru and take deep into your heart these teachings. So, when you have jaundice, sugar candy is so horrible you want to spit it out. So sometimes we're not attracted to chanting. Sometimes we're not attracted to devotional service. It's like this boy, he's not attracted. He wants to play with the mud instead of hearing Bhagavatam. But if we follow the instruction of the doctor, you see, you go ahead and take the sugar candy, you sit and hear Bhagavatam, you see. Maybe you don't want to hear Bhagavatam, but you sit and hear it because you understand by hearing it, this is I'll become cured. So that's the key. You do it in the beginning, it's sometimes bitter. Happiness in the mode of goodness is bitter in the beginning and sweet in the end. So sometimes it's bitter to get up early in the morning for Mangalarti. Sometimes it's bitter to not do this and that we're attracted to. But we follow the order of the spiritual master, and this way we become purified, and the natural awakening of pure love of God will come just like in a beautiful sunrise in a spring morning. Does that answer your question? Okay, so we'll stop here and continue on. Now to the next temple is Lara Lila. This is the original, not this temple, but the next one. This is the Jaipur temple, the recent temple. But we're going to the Lari Lal temple. We're going to see the original deities that were installed by Vajranath, very sacred deities. Of course, they're all sacred, but these are very special deities. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.